Wicked. 4 good review. A faithful but imperfect finale, Mark Vina, 8-minute read. Just now, though my readers know I generally write about tech topics, I couldn't resist offering my take on Wicked. For good installment that arrived for the Thanksgiving holiday, given my fondness for musical theater, and as a follow-up to my review of the first segment last year. Without question, Wicked, for good, arrives with the weight of a phenomenon on its shoulders. It is not just a sequel. It is the second half of the beloved Broadway musical that opened in 2001, the capstone to a 2-part film event, and a fresh gloss on a story audiences already know by heart. What is striking is how faithfully this bookend installment hews to the original stage show. Most reviews have accurately pointed out that the films remain closely aligned with the Broadway structure, right down to where the act break falls and how the big songs land, which is a very good thing. From my perspective, the film felt less like a new chapter and more like an extended second act, one that focuses on filling in emotional gaps and completing arcs. The core plot beats are familiar, but John Chu leans into character history and motivation. We spend more time with Elphaba in exile, with Glinda in a golden cage of her own making, with Fiero grappling with who he wants to be, and with supporting characters like Nessa Rose and Bach, whose choices now carry more weight. This deep dive approach would divide some viewers. As my brother Keith rightfully pointed out after we saw the movie together, if the viewer came to the theater expecting the momentum and discovered the first film, they might feel the story meanders and has a looser, more digressive plot due to perceived need to incorporate much of the backstory material from a 1995 novel Wicked. The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West, written by Gregory Maguire, that Wicked is based on. But for fans who always wish the second act of the stage show had more room to breathe, for good, plays like a generous expansion pack. You get more time in Oz, more texture around the wizard machinery, and more shades of the Elphaba Glinda friendship that sits at the heart of the franchise. The musical foundation maintains Stephen Schwartz's glorious, highly hummable and melodic score, which is both the film's greatest strength and its obvious constraint. Most of the iconic numbers live in the first half of Wicked, Popular, Defying Gravity, and the big early showstoppers. Moreover, for good, inherits a smaller batch of familiar songs, so Chu and Schwartz lean into the emotional resonance of the existing arrangements. The orchestrations echo the original Broadway production in all the right ways. Harmonies, modulations, and rhythmic punches feel lovingly preserved, and that continuity gives the film a satisfying musical spine. At the same time, the movie adds a couple of original numbers tailored to its two superstar leads. Ariana Grande's Glinda gets a girl in the bubble, while Cynthia Erivo's Elphaba receives No Place Like Home. Both songs are beautifully sung. Grande raps long phrases in airy pop phrasing. Erivo puts that burnished, laser-focused belt to commanding use. Yet you rarely shake the sense that these pieces exist more to showcase those voices than to push the story forward. They sit in the narrative like bonus. Tracks, not essential chapters. That tension will feel familiar to anyone who has watched movie musicals bent around pop royalty. When the film sticks to the original stage material, the storytelling and the score feel inseparable. For good, the title song hits exactly the way you want it to, as a bittersweet reckoning between two friends who have changed one another's lives. When the new numbers arrive, the spell breaks just a little. You admire the singing, but you feel the hand of commerce at work. Where Chu shows surprising restraint is in how he handles the story's political undercurrents. Wicked has always carried allegorical weight, talking animals whose rights are rolled back, a regime that manufactures an enemy to unite the populace, propaganda masquerading as order. The Times Review explicitly notes the fascist overtones in For Good, with Oz shifting into something darker and more authoritarian. The film does not pretend those elements are absent. Flying monkeys serve as an airborne surveillance network. Animals are censured, penned, and silenced. The wizard and Madame Morrible smile as they pull strings. Yet Chu does not hammer you with headlines or turn every moment into a contemporary political screed. He keeps the allegory rooted in the character's experience. Elphaba's outrage comes from empathy for those being crushed. Glinda's awakening comes from realizing she has benefited from a corrupt system. One of the film's sharpest images of hijacked truth comes in a sequence when Elphaba writes, "Our wizard lies in the sky," only to have Madame Morrible twist the message into Oz dies. It's a simple visual, but it captures the way power can capture language, reshape narrative, and weaponize fear. Chu lets that moment land without turning to winking references or modern slogans. The message is clear. Truth is fragile. Whoever controls the story controls the crowd. By the end, For Good feels less about left versus right and more about right versus wrong and blunts overt politics, leaning instead into values like friendship, solidarity, and kindness. That choice may frustrate viewers who want a sharper political edge. Still, it keeps the movie in line with its roots as a parable about misperception and otherness rather than a lecture about today's news cycle. Visually, the film is as indulgent as its themes are measured. Chu and his design team build a color tapestry that feels like a digital cousin to the shock audiences must have felt in 1939 when The Wizard of Oz snapped from sepia into technicolor. It's hard to ignore the film's muted rainbow palette and swirling camera work, dazzling production design, and costumes that are smartly faithful to the original stage production. I felt that heritage in almost every frame. Emerald City gleams with metallic greens and glassy surfaces. Glinda's world looks like spun sugar, all soft pinks and gleaming whites, until you notice the steel underneath. Elphaba's Sky Castle, with its jagged silhouette and storm-tossed lighting, nods toward German Expressionism and possibly Tim Burton, without becoming pastiche. The visual design keeps reminding you that Oz is both fantasy and machine, a world gorgeous enough to distract you from the gears that grind behind the curtain. The choreography, too, respect the show's DNA. Large crowd scenes pulse with the same organized chaos that stage fans will recognize. Dancers spiral through Emerald City plazas and crowd around Glinda's bubble in patterns that echo the original staging. Now open up for the camera. The flying sequences give Elphaba's broomstick its own sense of motion vocabulary, turning her ascents and dives into physical expressions of her resolve and isolation. Interestingly, you can feel Chu trying to answer a tricky question. How you honor choreography built for proscenium while taking advantage of film's freedoms? His solution is to preserve the shapes and energy of the stage movement, but cut more fluidly, dive in for close-ups, and occasionally let the camera dance along. It will not replace the thrill of seeing a live ensemble fill a theater, yet it gives the musical numbers a cinematic identity without betraying their stage origins. All of this sits inside a choice that may remain the most debated aspect of the project. Should Wicked have been split into two movies at all? By the time credits roll on For Good, you have spent nearly 5 hours in Oz across both films. In comparison, the expanded runtime, some of the origin story digressions, and new songs felt like filler. From a studio perspective, the answer seems obvious. The first installment was a major hit. Early reports suggest the second film's opening weekend landed around $150 million worldwide. Clearly, audiences are willing to pay for a return trip. So what do I know? Artistically, however, the answer feels more complicated. On one hand, the split allows space for character beats that might have been rushed in a single 3-hour film. Moments like Glinda's gradual moral awakening or Nessaros unraveling would almost certainly have been trimmed. On the other hand, the second half unavoidably carries less musical firepower and narrative surprise. You sense the story stretching to fill its expanded container. For some viewers, that will be a feature. For others, especially those who are not diehard musical fans, asking for 2 separate tickets and many hours of attention may feel like a lot. You cannot help wondering how a single muscular adaptation might have played out. Imagine a leaner cut that compresses the backstories, pairs back the added songs, and rides emotional arc from schoolyard misfits to mythic figures without a year-long intermission. In the end, however, Wicked, For Good, lands where its title suggests. The film is not perfect. The pacing of For Good occasionally wobbles. The new songs don't deepen the plot. Some of the origin details feel superfluous rather than revelatory. But to their credit, Chu and his cast bring the story home with sincerity and craft. The final images cleverly dovetail with the 1939 classic, and the last pass of the title duet delivers the catharsis fans have been waiting for. I walked out of theater feeling that this world, and especially this friendship, had been treated with care. For a franchise built on the idea that villains are rarely as simple as their legends, that may be the most relevant ending of all. Mark Vina is the CEO and principal analyst at Smart Tech Research based in Las Vegas, Nevada. As a technology industry veteran for over 25 years, Mark covers many consumer tech topics, including PCs, smartphones, smart home, connected health, security, PC and console gaming, and streaming entertainment solutions. Mark has held senior marketing and business leadership positions at Compaq, Dell, Alienware, Synaptics, Sling Media, and Nitto Robotics. Mark has appeared on CNBC, NBC News, ABC News, Business Today, The Discovery Channel, and other media outlets. Mark's analysis and commentary have appeared on Forbes.com and other well-known business news and research sites. His comments about the consumer tech space have repeatedly appeared in The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, USA Today, Tech News World, and other news publications. Mark is also a founding co-host of the Tech Stack podcast featuring Francis Sidico, Jim McGregor, Dave Altavilla, and Marco Chiappetta. You can subscribe to the Tech Stack podcast for free via The Technologists of Technologists are more than just tech enthusiasts. We're trusted guides in a rapidly evolving digital world. We, Smart Tech Research, like all research and tech industry analyst firms, provides or has provided paid services to technology companies. These services include research, analysis, advising, consulting, benchmarking, acquisition, or speaking sponsorships. Companies mentioned in this article may have utilized these services. Furthermore, given Smart Tech Research's expertise and its utilization of AI tools within its own practice, the company provides guidance to other businesses on employing AI in a productive and responsible manner. Smart Tech Check Podcast. Subscribe to Smart Tech Check Podcast for weekly podcast episodes. Watch Mark Vina's podcast with industry luminaries. Subscribe to my Smart Tech Check Podcast on YouTube and to my Smart Tech Check newsletter for free on LinkedIn or Medium for updates on the most important disruptive tech topics that should be on your radar screen. Written by Mark Vina, 91 followers, 162 following CEO and principal analyst at Smart Tech Research. I write about disruptive technology. No responses, yet what are your thoughts? More from Mark Vina. Lenovo's ThinkPad X1 Carbon has me rethinking my MacBook Pro. Apple MacBook Pro users often find it difficult to switch to Windows laptops due to the February 21st, Qualcomm's Dragon Wing IQX put industrial PCs at the center of AI. Qualcomm's Dragon Wing IQX launch is a reminder that the most interesting PC story. November 14th, Mark Vina see all from Mark Vina, recommended from Medium. Sonos Arc Ultra raises the bar for home theater audio. As a longtime user of the original Sonos Arc, I approached the new Sonos Arc Ultra with. December 17, 2024, Wicked Film Review. It's Marvel Akel, adapting a stage musical to film, presents unique challenges as the two mediums diff. November 23, 2024, Mark Vina, Stanford just killed prompt engineering with 8 words, and I, ChatGPT keeps giving you the same boring response? This new technique unlocks too. The end of personal websites and why that might be a good thing, why nobody wants to hire you anymore. It's not just older workers. It's not just Gen Z. The entire job market has turned hostile, and November 10, 4.3K, 200 what a sex worker notices about Gen X and Gen Z men, how masculinity changed between grunge and TikTok. Did NVIDIA just prove there is no AI bubble? Take a wild guess. The database that killed my wife on March 7, 2023. My wife died during emergency surgery. The doctors couldn't. Burke, Jason, Weiland, Jonathan, CZ, will lock it to Morris Holt. Wicked. For Good Review. A Faithful But Imperfect Finale by Mark Vina, NOV. 2025 Medium.